Okay. On your mark. On your, oh my God, that's not how we do it.
And that scared me. Mommy, I didn't like that when you said a different thing than usual.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to take a deep breath, center myself.
Mommy, please say the normal.
Mommy was counting down to Supernatural.
It's kind of where my head was at, yeah. Whew. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Anne.
I'm Leah.
Guys, I'm not doing, you don't know what happened before we got on this call. And I can't, Leah sucked my life force out of me and I can't clap. So I just doing these weak little, we have to clap. I'm just doing these weak little baby bird claps.
My hosts are jealous. My co-hosts are jealous because I clapped like a Greek god today.
She did.
It was so
really
sharp
did.
And authoritative. And then Anne did her beautiful normal. Of course, she's a great clapper. Her beautiful, huge, booming clap. And what I did is so unspeakable. It was just this little mule of a clap. Like a baby, like a stupid baby.
Oh mule, my God. M-E-W-L, yeah.
Yes. I feel like we talk about our clapping. Like,
I don't think we've ever explained it.
Have we ever explained that we use it to sync up all the tracks?
Yeah.
I had to let them in on this. I mean, they have to know what's happening with me.
I mean, I think we've alluded to the claps before. It is just funny that we're usually just like, yeah, our claps were good or bad. Like, don't worry about it. Yeah.
It's the last thing we do before we record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Leah clapped so triumphantly.
Oh, my God. It was so
usually,
good.
Usually, it's, it not, it's not a good showing
Leah
for me,
and I are supposed to both be weak clappers, but tonight she was such a strong clapper, like maybe clap of the night. And
who was clap of the night?
I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't be more subterranean in terms of like how good bad my clap was, like really bad. Like I am losing the clap classic, continental clapsic. Well, we'll work on that one.
My favorite thing is that when I'm producing for Trish and Sarah, I make them clap. And for a while, Trish got in her own head about it because I told her that I don't know how to clap well. And so she got into her own head. And then she was like, I'm going to a football match this weekend and I'm going to practice all my clapping. And then she came back from the football match and she had a beautiful brassy clap. So I think what you need to do is go to a sporting event.
Go to a sports game?
We're sports girls now. You got to go to a
We believe
sports
in sports presentation.
I'm going to die.
Oh, this is why we don't know how to clap.
You want me to go to a match in a stadium?
Okay, well, Allie, they don't teach you how to clap at poetry readings.
That they want a little mewling clap at a poetry reading, for sure.
She was so moved. That's why her clap was so small and mewling. Okay, well, how's everyone else doing? You know what I mean?
Really got to come back from that. Like, that was really a high for me.
Yeah. Leah is still in season 6 of Supernatural, so also a big win.
Yeah, that's correct. Much, Leah? How much do you have left? 6 minutes left. 6 to 7.
And you know what, girls? I paused the finale of season 6 to come be here tonight.
Wow.
Okay, well, it's our usual time, so it's on your calendar. It's not.
Okay, I thought I was going to get like a little bit of credit.
Leah told us that it's really important to her to get into the double digits of Supernatural.
Quite
like
troubling.
She has to get at least to season 10. That's where she's at.
And she's already past the point where it's quote unquote good. So
but she also keeps calling it a rich text.
Mm. I have I've beat where I went last time. So when me and Aaron watched it over the pandemic, we quit after somewhere after season five. And so I beat that record. Everybody tells me it gets better in season eight. So getting to season eight, and then we'll evaluate. But I really think I can get to 10.
Just like gets red, gets better like for a while or like...
Certainly not permanently better.
I have to find out. I'm an explorer. So. I'm a scientist. I'm out there. I'm exploring new territory.
Yeah, you're
the like someone ship. Who hops in a ship and is like, I'm going to discover America. Like, people have been there the whole time, babe. Supernatural
and,
people.
And you're like,
there.
You're basically frozen in Arctic ice. You're not getting out of there. Like, you're just on a death mission.
Oh, you're on the endurance.
Yeah,
oh,
you're
yeah.
on the terror for sure.
Well, okay. Well, that's a little rough. There's something else was a little rough this week, but before we discuss it, let me just let you guys know. You'll be shocked to hear this because your girls are coming off as the height of mental health right now, but we do need a little holiday vacay, so we will be off next week. And then we'll be back after World's End, so we'll have tons to talk about the week after that. We'll go really long, and we'll just have a blast and roll around in it. But you won't hear from us next week, the week of Christmas. Anyway, Kenny has diverticulitis. So
yeah, they're really being very forthcoming with that. Everyone loves to give the specific diagnosis.
I can't remember the last time that I heard the actual diagnosis of a wrestler's ailment so often, but of course it was gutting to us, no pun intended, to hear this. And of course we're glad that they caught it just in time. And of course we think that Kenny should take all the time in the world to heal up. And I think he almost needs to be like forcibly contained in a house or something. Like, he shouldn't be allowed to come back before. I just feel like he might try. Like, Kenny, I stay home and get well.
I didn't like some of the things I was hearing. Yeah, about him, like, catching it barely in time and trying to work through a lot of the pain. I'm like, I thought you stopped doing that after the last time.
I think there's a thing when you're, like, in chronic pain a lot of the time where you start... You don't notice when, like, maybe you should intervene on it, you know? And I feel like he got in some bad habits, maybe.
I think that's very, very possible. Just horrible. Should we talk about how... So I think commentary announced it on Collision, and Kenny announced it on his Twitter. But then also on Dynamite, Chris Jericho came out very somberly to also announce it. And to be honest, I did think it was, like, this... sweetest, strangest announcement in the world. Like, I know that they are the Golden Jets, but it was just like, Jericho, what are you doing here? But he looked so worried about Kenny, and he looked so proud of the crowd for chanting for Kenny. He says, I knew they'd do that. I don't worry, Kenny. I knew that they would support you. Very funny.
Kenny. It is a dangerous place on the internet to be right now with no books. Chuck Taylor hurt. Kenny hurt. And then now, like, people, like, actively blaming Jericho for, like, everything. And I keep being like, Jericho's a sweetie pie. He's a huge sweetie pie. Have we not seen that?
He's actually Kenny's loving protector.
They also once again told us that Chuck Taylor's injured, which I've never heard so much transparency around Chuck Taylor's.
They got spooked by that one time Sean Rossap was like, why won't people stop asking me about Chuck Taylor? They said, Dustin, we got to just give him just a few little updates because the girlies are screaming. The girlies are making a big fuss. I guess we could just briefly check in on what the implications of Kenny's indefinite absence will be. So, of course, he and Jericho were supposed to fight Ricky Starks and Big Bill at World's End, which they now will not be able to do. We did not get any indication in this episode of whether there is going to be a replacement match or, like, what direction they're moving in for the cursed tag team belts.
I feel like the natural thing is for the Bucks to get their spot back, but I am not that, like, I'm not Jones. As much as I want to see them again, I'm like, they've rescued Tony a bunch of times. And so if they're not in the mood to do it, they're still on vacation. If Matt's still in Maui,
but Leah, isn't it a longtime dream match of yours to have Big Bill and Ricky Starks versus the Young Bucks?
Yeah, Leah, Billy you Starks? Wouldn't want to pass yeah. up this opportunity. It comes around once in a lifetime, but once. I think it would be nice if they got to come back with an actual plan and do their actual plan. And it's kind of like, would we like it if there was a functional tag team division? Yeah, I think that would be good. Would we like it if actual tag teams held the belt? Yeah, if we had any of them left. It turns out there are about 7 injuries. I mean, like every other tag team has an injury. But does it matter at this point if Billy Starks, the tag team, just holds these belts for another 6 months? No, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
Whatever. No. Just maybe don't even have them on the show. I mean, I don't know. So I guess we'll see what happens.
I wonder
if
we would eventually get like Stockholmed as if they were like an arranged Probably. Marriage.
Yeah. Like
they learned to love each other.
Yeah. Oh, are you saying that we get Stockholmed about them or they get Stockholmed about each other?
Well, I was saying the first, but now I'm kind of saying both.
I hope no, it's but both. I mean like, yeah. No, I don't hope it's both. I don't want us to get Stockholmed. But if they get Stockholmed by each other, we'll probably get Stockholmed by them, just having met us.
Is this like the 10th pay-per-view where Ricky has had his match like taken away from him by a circumstance?
You know what? That is the universe sending you a message, Ricky. Yeah. And the message is, don't whine so much. Just
get your attitude together.
Yeah. Get straight with yourselves. Get right with God, too, while you're at it. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that Ricky's, like, a curse. Like, actually.
He is the curse.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, dear. No. Oh, we're doomed.
Maybe we need to want the Bucks to come
throw
out.
Him overboard like Jonah.
Or is he a curse or is he a WWE inside agent destroying AEW from the inside out? Just kidding. Unless, well, I guess that he could be a curse in that sense. I'm now immediately writing a YA fantasy series about Ricky. Oh, he's going to get me. Okay. I don't think we know what's going to happen. So shall we move on to talking about the Connie?
Yeah.
The love of our lives.
Guys, the stuff that these women, Anne and Leah, wrote in their notes this week, it's like I felt it too, but it was absolutely shocking. Like, it was just huge swaths of notes about the happenings of the week where no one said anything like erotic, no one said mouth stuff, no one said juicy body. It was just long paragraphs about the math that, like, by which you could achieve various Continental Classic matchups. Yeah. I was reading it with my eyes just like big old silver dollars in my face. Like, this is literally sports talk radio in my workflowy doc.
I'm ready to be one of those men that goes to a baseball game with like the little like crosshatchy like graph paper to write down the statistics as the hits come in, you know?
And let me tell you, that was coming through loud and clear.
I literally want a show that comes on after Dynamite that's like a half hour to an hour long that's like a talking bad, like we just discuss the episode, except all they do is show me the Connie like scorecard and talk through scenarios. Like, okay, so if Mox loses, like here's where we're going.
I know that they must already have this happening on various sports shows, so this is like showing what I'm familiar with, but I'm like, do you want kind of a Steve Kornacki like live board situation where they can get up there and they can move the points around, like, okay, this is scenario A, so we're moving the 3 over there, the 1 over there, the 2 over there, and now Absolutely. You can see we get that 3-way outcome, but
yes. I'm so happy thinking about that. I want like a weedy person in khakis to be circling things on a board that's like animated for no good reason,
and
for sure.
I want a few like kind of uncool sportsmen like saying things like, well, I know you'd like that outcome, wouldn't you? Well, you know he's always been my guy. Mox, yep. I'll bet on him every time, but I have to that's say right. the odds are not looking good here tonight, Steve.
Yeah, if Charles Barkley can get out there, like, yeah.
Or like like inventing the concept of sports TV, which is already like the most lucrative kind of TV that there is.
Maybe they could call it, like a sports center, maybe. Just kind of go all in.
I don't know. Yeah, we might want to workshop that. But I mean, it's not
off the top of my head. Yeah,
just off the dome. Listen, guys, we're loving the Connie. We're having a great time. We're going to start with what I've called here Connie B. That is the blue group. For a second, I was like, I don't know. It's just Connie B to me. It's the blue group. Okay, so, Allie, come on. This all happened on Collision. So on Collision, Claudio beat Andrade. This kind of astonished me. Mm-hmm. Eddie beat Danny Garcia, who now has not one single win in the competition. And Danielson beat Brody King, which who could say anything about that? We've already talked a little bit about Anne's passion for Connie Mack and her interest in the path to an Eddie Danielson semifinals. Did you do the math on that, Anne?
I probably could have done it more thoroughly, but I was very thrilled because I did not watch Collision to see that Brian Danielson is up there with 9 points tied with Andrade, because for a minute there it looked like Andrade was going to be like on a path to the final. And Andrade still has his match with Eddie coming up, I say in SportsCenter tones. So if Eddie beats him there, then Eddie can get to the 9 points. Andrade is kept from getting 12, and we've got Danielson, so he's in the running.
Should we do like kind of an April Fool's style rebranding of the podcast that is like turning our Tunnel funny. Talk logo into like some kind of like sports, you know, what do those logos look like? We can figure it out.
Like something with a basketball or coming through
and
it.
And we need that kind of like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, like the sports music as you go in.
We need to get Chris to write us a new sort of instrumental, but very
like a remix of this one, active. But it's giving sports theme.
Yeah.
We'll probably get over this, guys, but I can't wait to just have these be our alter egos, where once a year we get the Connie and we just go loco in the brain.
if they should do it again, which they have to, like, we definitely should get Chris to remix the theme and just like change the logo.
One Nation Radio was saying that the only thing that they would change next year would be announce it like 3 months in advance and then like announce who's in it like a month before. And I'm like straight up like, yeah, because then we could make the brackets and everybody has to like pencil in who they think is going to win and like you put money on it. And then like you sit there with your piece of paper every week crossing off when you lose. Come on.
Remember how a couple of weeks ago we were like, people want to make like brackets and stuff?
No, now we're full weirdos. We're full bracket girls.
I want my coworkers making brackets with me. I want a full pool. I want to win a day of PTO.
It is very funny again though that I keep re-encountering just how skewed my frame of reference is, where it's like what you're describing of course is March Madness, but the thought I had when Leah started talking was, yeah, we should treat it like Oscars season. There should be a really big run-up to it, and we should all take it really serious.
Kind of like as though it was a really big poetry competition and we all had our favorites we were rooting for.
Oh, God. It's a new culture, but I'm loving it. I'm just loving getting into it. Wow. What do we even have to discuss here?
Just math. Oh,
let's start with, though, let's move away from the math for a second. And I know you want to get back to it. And let's just step away from the math for a second.
Okay.
And let's talk about Brian Danielson, Mary Oliver fangirl.
Yeah.
Brian Danielson just hitting us with a what will you do with your one wild and precious life in that promo. Okay, sir.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
startled me. It startled me. BrianDanielson.tumblr.com.
To hear that from a wrestle man, a man who's gotten way too many concussions.
But he is, he is in the right region. She's a Pacific Northwest
nature poet.
Girly, and that's Brian Danielson's deal. Now I'm struggling to remember. Oh, he talked about how because he and Claudio are going to meet next week. They're going to fight each other. So he was talking about how, like, Claudio, we really got to go ham on each other. Like, we can't be nice to each other. You should try to tear my eye out, basically, with your bare hands.
What's he going to do with his one wild and precious life? He's going to fight.
He's going to fight, yeah. He said, that's what brings me joy. I said, Mary Oliver, I wish you were here. I wish you were still here to hear this.
She's like, let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. And Brian's like, yeah, bleeding fighting all over the place. Yeah.
It's soft for a reason, so the blood can come out.
I love that promo started with him being like, and my wife is going to be furious, and my daughter is going to be disgusted.
And my son is a little, he's going to call me a pirate.
And then he's going to hit me on my broken orbital bone.
I thought it was a really fun promo. I thought Leah did us a great service this week, and she gathered up all the Connie promos for us so that we could open 10 Twitter tabs at once and just cruise through them. And I really enjoyed that experience. Daniel Smith's promo was pretty good. Claudio's promo was kind of like fully nothing to me. Like, I was absolutely just like, nothing. Babe, you are not giving the intensity that I need.
So many people in this tournament, they're like, I'm taking my win-loss records. I'm like crafting a mental story of where I am emotionally. And Claudio's just like, yeah, so I had a match and that was nice.
He said, I respect you. Go ahead, Leah.
He's the one guy who came into this tournament and was like, and I'm clocking into work. I am clocking into work. I'm going to do my little shift.
I am not on an emotional journey. I am fighting matches.
Yeah, because I think, Leah, had you pointed that out too, that it's like, has Claudio had any kind of journey in this tournament?
No, none of, I don't think so at all. Like, I mean, like, he kind of did the first time he fought Eddie for the, like, for the, like, to defend the belt that he ended up losing. But he faced Eddie again, and Eddie had a whole big thing about where he was like, you know, I can't lose to Claudio again. I can't get kicked out of this. I thought I said it was going to be humble, but this is a nightmare. And Claudio was just like, another day, another fight, man.
Another fight. Did I lose to Eddie? Certainly. That's life, and that's just life in the working world. It is true. It's like, of course, as we've been saying, what do we desire out of this tournament? Math, of course. Reams is math. Like, we want the stats. We want that. But the other thing that we need is for men to, with their bare hands, reach into their chest, rip their bleeding hearts out, mm-hmm. and hold them pulsing before the camera, mm-hmm. blood dripping onto the floor, saying, look at this. It is my heart, you know, and I would not say that Claudio's given me that.
No, he did. The only thing he seemed passionate about was like loving Brian Danielson, really, yeah. Which is fine.
Well, I guess
that's not really thematically appropriate.
No,
it was just, it seemed like kind of a normal love, so just not interesting to me.
It does crack me up though that like, this is another point in which the Connie has changed us, because I believe our stance for 2+ years has been, if you do not show it to me on dynamite.com, then I do not know about it and I don't care to know about it. And what did I do all day today? Refresh Twitter looking for promos that I would watch in my free time.
Our little Easter egger over here, our little mushroom forager, our truffle hunter, she's out in the woods. She's hunting down these promos for us. It is funny, like, when I looked at how many I had on the screen, I was like, I guess this is why they can't show them all to me on TV. But they actually do show a lot of them on Collision. That's kind of where the promos go. So, okay, well, let's move on to Connie G, the gold group. as I said, let's kick it with the G League.
You kind of turned your chair around backwards for that one.
like I'm a cool teacher in a 90s movie. Let's kick it with the G League. It's like the G League is like the romantic poets or something. Okay, so this week on Dynamite, Swerve beat Roosh, but they both had to really work for it. Mark Briscoe defeated Jay Lethal, so that was his first win for the tournament, and Lethal, no wins in the whole tournament. And Jay White, surprise, beat Jon Moxley, leaving us with a three-way semifinal on our hands. But unfortunately, all of the men have said they desperately wish they didn't have to have a three-way. They're so mad about this three-way.
They hate three-ways.
They hate three-ways. And Taz was on commentary being like, oh, yeah, you know, as a former wrestler, of course, like, yeah, we hate three-ways. Yeah, we won't have three-ways. It's like, okay, methinks the lady protested too much.
It's not sexy at all to have a three-way. I really, really hate them.
I just want to read you guys a sample sentence of what Anne was hitting me with this week. The logic for the three-way potential for this match is so interesting. Okay. I mean, I never thought I'd read this kind of thing for my girls.
I didn't put the "so" in all caps or anything.
Well, I felt it, Anne. And I think if you tell me that's not how it sounded in your head, you're lying to me. But Anne wasn't mad about the three-way. No. What did you guys think about Jay White Mox?
It was good. The match itself was totally fine. Like, I had a good time. I had not thought about the potential for a three-way before commentary started talking up all episode, basically. So that was exciting. And it's like, I think I would have preferred like a Mox Swerve semifinal, but this way, you know, Swerve doesn't have to get pinned. So sure.
Well, we got, of course, as we know in wrestling, you got to think about, who are we protecting? Who's getting pinned? Who's not? Of course we know that, you know.
Although I do feel like, really, AEW, you have to let these guys lose sometimes. Like,
but, you know, I think the tournament has been good for that. Because
I think it has been.
Like, multiple people. Like, Mox has gotten a loss, and we know he didn't want to. Andrade's getting those losses. Roosh is getting... I mean, Roosh, you've been a good boy this whole time. He's getting those losses. Like, everyone's taking their pins. So, you know, it's a juice box is for everybody, and we're really proud of you, and just keep lying down and just get pinned. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I would just get pinned. What do you guys want to see out of this three-way?
I hope that Jay White throws a tantrum. I'm really addicted to him being sulky.
Well, his post-match promo was so, I mean, that insane chihuahua energy of just like, I'm actively like, my brain is too big for my head because it's swelling. It's actively swelling.
Yeah, so he's really gone full unhinged in those. Yeah, I'm hoping that Mox and Swerve have, you know, do a little more kissing, have a little more chemistry. I hope that throwing Jay White in the mix doesn't detract from...
I think it would be funny if Mox does another kissy, Swerve does another kissy on Mox, and Jay White just looks like confused and repulsed. Like, what are these? What are you doing with your mouths right now? Is it our friend Mary who says her headcanon is that Jay White is a permaverge? She's like, I don't know what kissing is. I'm confused. Why did
he doesn't know how to fuck?
Why did they do that with their mouths?
Have you ever seen the video that's based on? I forget who he's talking to, but somebody is pointing to something, and he starts whispering in Jay White's ear, and Jay White goes, "What? What? That's not right. That can't be true." And someone, I think Mary was like, this is Jay White learning about sex. People don't do that.
Yeah, that's exactly the energy I want him to have about Mox Swerve Kissy is what? Ew. People don't do this. I think the only other thing coming out of the Connie is just that we're Roosh fangirls now. Lee, of course, is married to the man. But I'm loving everything he does, and I love when he comes out just with that. You know what? I can't even get into it. So I just love his whole presentation. Let's put it down.
I feel like Roosh should be doing like a cologne ad, but like it's not called cologne; it's called musk.
Like 80% of the time it works all the time.
And it should be something like he should be selling a product that doesn't have its own scent, it just enriches your natural scent or something. You know, that amplifies your natural scent. Because he's so glisteny all the time.
Yeah.
So you know, he's doing a great job in the old Connie. Okay, we got to turn from something that brought us a lot of joy to something that I don't think brought us very much at all. Are you ready emotionally? Are you in a space to receive information that may hurt you? Ugh.
Oh, okay, sure.
We're going to talk about what happened with MJF this week. So this week on Dynamite, Samoa Joe came out for another in-ring promo in which he was like, okay, I guess maybe Hangman isn't the devil since he got beat up last week. I don't think that makes any sense. Like, I think if you were a real devil, like, you would willingly be beaten up by your own henchmen in order to sell the idea that you aren't a devil. But and Samoa Joe is not right doing after, the 4D chess I am.
right after being accused of being the devil, that's maybe exactly when you would do it, actually.
You know, and it might be exactly the time you would do it, yeah. But Samoa Joe is like, he couldn't be the devil. I'm starting to think that Roddy might be right. MJF is the devil. So MJF, I'd love if we could talk about it. So MJF comes out. He and Samoa Joe promo each other a little. And I think we all agree MJF was in like full like heel mode here, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, he has certain wells he returns to, let's just say, where it's like, unfortunately, a good person or a person who's trying to be good wouldn't say it. So yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so. Oh, why did I put a lot of commentary in the middle here? Okay, so then a million, I mean, this was so many men. Like, they were like anthill style. A million devil's minions attacked Samoa Joe and MJF in the ring. They kind of surrounded the ring. MJF and Samoa Joe are fighting them off. Lights out. We get another video with another tag team challenge from the devil, this time for the ROH belts. So, just having deja vu all over again. MJF starts pleading with Joe to tag with him, but Joe is really riled up by getting attacked by one zillion men. So he's immediately like, yeah, of course, we'll fight him. Then later backstage, MJF is walking down a hallway and he sees like a ski mask outside the Mogul Embassy's dressing room. So he knocks on the door to be like, you guys are the devil's henchmen, and one of you is the devil, and he gets into it with Swerve. They promo each other for a while. We can get into that in a minute. And then also on the show, we have MJF. The whiplash I have even reading this. Also on the show, we have MJF getting inducted into the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. And we had a Roddy match versus Commander, where Roddy gave out a bunch of flyers being like, MJF is the devil, which I did think was a funny bit, honestly. And he once again said that MJF is the devil, and he did say that MJF is the devil, which we haven't heard from Roddy before, but he did mention that. So where do you want to start with all of this?
I did really like the flyers bit. I thought that was the only good part, especially because Matt Taven brought tape and they taped it to the barriers and then it stayed up there for the rest of the show. And that was
that's
pretty good.
Good tape.
Yeah. Roddy does.
What brand of tape is that, do you think?
Roddy does find his way to some funny stuff from time to time in between screaming people's names over and over, which.
Yes, as I said, I still keep thinking about all my life I face consequences for my actions. I won't do it anymore. I'm like, yeah, of course that is kind of the funniest bit of all time. That's actually so fucking funny. I'm like, that's me every single night having to answer for the consequence of my own. All my life I face consequences for my actions. It will not do.
Will not do.
Yeah.
This was so much time devoted to devil stuff, though, when I have no interest in devil stuff. And it didn't really move anything forward again. So
at the end of the day, I guess I personally just don't think it's a big ask to use like, it's like the David Mamet principles of TV writing, where it's like any given scene, there should be like, it's like, what do you want? Like, how will you try to get it? Like, what happens next or something? I don't know. He has a whole memo that's really good. But basically, it's like in any scene, it should be really clear who wants what, and they should be doing something to pursue it, and you learn things about the characters based on their actions. And I would not say that's happening. And again, I don't know anything else about the devil. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just a huge problem that I have with spending 2-3 months on this storyline is like, you need to be giving me more and more information that's like giving me a sense of like what this person is doing. Like just like a random devil that we learn nothing about terrorizing a man is unfortunately insufficient for my entertainment.
Yeah. And now that they're treating it like MJF was running around, they were doing a lot of like mystery show type bits,
yeah,
like putting together
the
clue. Yeah. The Poirot-ing of it all. But it's like, if you're going to turn it into an Agatha Christie novel, like you need to have a coherent mystery that like will add up once it's put together. But there's nothing. It's so
I can't
stupid.
Believe I forgot about my favorite joke of the night. Poirot-ing.
And in fact, I believe at one point you said how did you say
joy rowing? Oh yeah, Samoa joy rowing. No. Samoa joy row. Oh, Samoa joy row is at it again, laying out the evidence for me.
And the thing was that like I would have given them one redo, because obviously like whatever the plan was when Adam Cole was around had to change when he got hurt, but all the backstage talk about how the devil actually isn't going to be Jack Perry anymore and it's being changed right now, I'm like, no, you can't do that now.
Well, now it's like he had so many minions that it's like, okay, well, what plot line are we going to do? Is the devil every other wrestler in the company? Like, I guess maybe that would have,
I mean, maybe.
You know, it's not a no for me. If it's like the wrestlers have unionized against MJF, yeah, I wouldn't mind it. That's funny, I suppose. And then if we got to watch 3 months of like the union having a complete breakdown and then they de-unionize because wrestlers inherently can't get along.
But they would love the work shootness of the backstage is chaos. Yeah. The backstage are they're not together. The
they're
locker room is no longer united.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Well, now one thing I want to say, well, I don't want to say it. I wish I didn't have to, but Wardlow is still cutting promos, implying that he is a part of this storyline.
Why?
That is deeply troubling to me.
It's crazy. It's like when there's so much else going on and he doesn't hook on to anything and they're all pre-tapes. Like he doesn't do anything. It's just like he's like Miro yelling at God and it's like, you don't go here. What do you...
What? And I have to, again, like there's no movement in the promos. Like,
nope.
I would love if after 3 promos, like Wardlow was yelling and just stopped and did like a little tension headache thing and was just like, how long do I have to keep doing this? Like, and got into like some backstory or like, this is some stuff I know about you, Max, because I was close to you. And like, you know, just bring me some nuance. Mm-hmm. It's so boring.
The show has gotten not entirely, I mean, obviously there's good parts, but like the bad parts of the show is really like, you're just showing me the same thing over and over that I've seen the last 4 weeks in a row. And it's just like, okay, every scene needs to reveal character or move the plot forward for God's sake.
I'm like, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? It's like, if you propose a storyline and it has to go until the next pay-per-view, unfortunately, I think you should maybe have to submit a deck or something where you are explaining
week one.
The storyline is advancing week by week. And you don't have to have the promos planned out and you don't have to explain how it's going to advance that way. But you have to be able to say, this is what demonstrably changes about the storyline, or this is what you learn this week. Or, I mean, this just seems, you know. If I ran the soup, people would be submitting a lot of decks.
I'd love to watch a wrestler try to make a deck. Do you think they can open PowerPoint? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I guess, I mean, I have to be completely fair. It's like, do I make any decks? No. That is not something I do, and I wouldn't be good at it either. But I'd love to. I just want their old-fashioned. Like, I want, like, late 90s decks from the wrestlers.
I want them to be really using those transitions that come
absolutely
with PowerPoint.
Swish. Yeah. Week 3. What did you guys think about the MJF swerve promo?
I don't know. It wasn't... There were parts of it that were good. There were lines that were good. There were parts that made my face make a little bit of a lemon, sucking on a lemon mouth.
Yeah. I think I heard you say a little yike at one point in emoji, via emoji. I heard your emoji.
Yeah. It was sort of interesting, too, because, like, MJF really went full heel against Swerve, which is, like, I mean, I guess if they're baby-facing Swerve. But it just seems very, like, I feel like MJF's character is all over the place. Everyone's character is all over the place.
Well, yeah. Because with MJF, it's, like, the other... And I guess this is a work shoot situation, I suppose. But, like, the other context that we saw him in on the show was when he's accepting his award I totally missed the part where it was the Jewish Hall of Fame. So I was just like, I don't know, I guess it's some random Hall of Fame that's letting him in, but he is using it as an opportunity to talk about anti-Semitism. But in that situation, he's like a big time serious face, like, because mm-hmm. that's a reasonable thing to certainly to be a face about, is to say mm-hmm. anti-Semitism is bad. And so then there's just like this weird thing where it's like this man is on the show as like a legitimate face, like not a thing where I don't think you should ever think that MJF's character is not being a face about being proud to be Jewish and thinking anti-Semitism is bad and shouldn't happen. But then he's fully being a heel to everybody else. So it's like, well, what do you want me to take away from this juxtaposition? I guess it's like it's something that happened and he wants to celebrate it and he wants to discourage anti-Semitism, which of course we should do. She talked herself through it. But at a time when I'm struggling with the coherence of his characterization, I would not say that it was helpful.
Yeah, I think other times that he's had, like, stuff like that on the show, like, gotten, you know, like, an award or whatever, and they showed it. It didn't have that because his on-screen character felt like a fictional character who is more coherent. And it's just, like, right now, MJF, I think, is just struggling in general. Plus, we've seen too much of him for too long, probably.
Yeah, it's just gone on too long. He needed to do a hard pivot when Adam Cole got hurt, and he mm-hmm. didn't. He missed the point where he could have saved it, and instead he doubled down, and now it's just like, I'm so sorry. I've got a big hook, and I'm putting it around your middle, and I'm pulling you off stage.
And we got a reboot. Fairness, we got 3 months off and a full reboot. Yeah.
That's the only way he'd want to be pulled off stage. I know that the little theater boy in him says, okay, yeah, hook me off stage.
Either a hook or pursued by a bear, for sure.
Well, I guess we'll see where it all goes. I mean, I feel like we kind of said it all, you know? We're not trying to pile on him.
I did like that MJF brought up how Swerve's obsessed with Hangman. That was nice.
Oh, yeah. That was sexy. That was erotic. The first mm-hmm. time you've heard the word all episode.
Things I like that and math. So, yeah. It's a pretty normal one for me.
Okay. It's a Connie-style tournament, but they're getting points for eroticism. Is this anything?
That's not nothing. I think maybe for our next anniversary, we should run back, like, the biggest, like, have a showdown, the most erotic moments of the year and bracket it out. It's in March, too. It could be our March.
Oh,
Madness.
Yeah. Okay, so A, that's a great idea. B, I just thought we could be rating the winners of the Connie matches. We could do our own bracket where we say who won for eroticism.
I like it. It'd be a little bit rough because it's like with Swerve and Mox, like they were both so erotic, but only one of them could get the points. And then you have like a Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, where you're like, well, that wasn't erotic at all.
But unfortunately, I did say that Jay Lethal's thighs were juicy in the middle.
You did.
So he fucked up.
After excoriating Leah for it.
Yeah, I got group shamed. I got stoned in the center of the village square for that shit.
Well, but I said it in a way that I think is so acceptable, where I said, I'm worried that Jay Lethal's thighs are looking really juicy. This match has to end, so I don't think any more things like that. And then it did end, and I said, oh, thank God.
And I said, I'm not thirsting after Jay Lethal. But he's got a fat ass.
Okay, but what was the next sentence? Yeah. Read the next sentence. What did you say? It was something about where you said, doesn't he look like he's got a fat ass and a bad attitude? And you said it with a little twinkle in your eye.
Because I was making a very funny Anna Jay joke.
That's why you were twinkling? I think you were twinkling because...
I liked a good pun.
I'm quite troubled by both of you, so...
Yeah, well...
Listen, you know, I say what I see. When I see a fat ass, I comment on it.
You are an ass girl, so...
I am an ass girl.
Well, we know that. Oh, God, I miss you. Oh, did you see that,
Speaking about this, Mark Davis is blowing all our minds. Yeah.
I like that. Mark Davis nobody had to say his name.
No. Like, of course, that was what I was referring to when I said Leah was an ass. Man.
And I was actually, I paused because I was like, what's his name? Kyle Davis? So I was just conflating him. He's back in the gym, though. It feels like just yesterday he got injured. So I'm glad he's healing. Oh my God, and Kyle's doing jiu-jitsu. Come home, Kyle. I miss
Kyle
you.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Mommy miss.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly. The
yeah,
devil.
Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah, what do you mean?
We were talking about Mark Kyle Davis. Fletcher. So I thought you meant Kyle Fletcher. And I was like, well, I mean,
I'm so sorry.
He works out.
That is a very gym, fair. Sure. You were not with me on the jump from injured man to other injured man sharing a name of another man I just talked about. That is fair. No, Kyle O'Reilly's doing jiu-jitsu. And he's going to come home someday.
Still pulling for him to be the devil.
Someday. It'd be so good. It's the only good answer.
Okay. We simply must move on. Last week on Rampage, Ruby and Saraya got into it about, I don't really know. Like, they're not happy with each other. I think it was still about Jeff Parker. And Ruby was like, stop getting on my ass about this. And
you're right in the way you described it, though. Like, it's toxic teen girl friendship, like, absolutely.
Thank you. I didn't want to, you know, I was scared to commit to it in case I'd really been wrong, but that was how I interpreted it, was that there was a little bit of an obsessive dynamic that Jeff Parker has disrupted.
Really, you know how Eddie's character is, like, himself at 17, like, but revved up? Like, really, all the women also should be, like, my character is myself at 17, but kind of amped up, you know? It's like, yeah, there's some drama there.
Yeah. Okay, so Saraya then fought Riho on Dynamite and lost. Ruby was backstage watching on a screen and was, like, happy that she lost. Toni Storm was on commentary. And then she came out to the ring afterwards and did a little standoff. I thought she looked very cool. She looked like she was in kind of a smoking jacket. Mm-hmm. And they did a little standoff, and they're going to fight at World's End. So what do you guys think about that?
Opera glasses were very funny.
They were really funny.
At Riho with the opera glasses. That's good prop work.
Good she prop has work. Been. Oh, she can get the award for that this week. I don't think anyone else used a prop.
Yeah, she's been innovating. You know, she's not just repeating the same jokes. She's finding new ones. So that's
she
fun.
Is. And again, it's like, what is that going to look like in the match with Riho? What is that going to look like if she keeps the championship and still has this gimmick? I don't know, but I do appreciate that she is bringing new things to the table every week, such as saying on commentary that she and the Outcast synced up when they were in a group together.
That was so funny. And then led to Tony Schiavone saying to Excalibur, you haven't been married very long, have you? And Excalibur did not understand it. So good stuff.
I mean, you know, we have actually many times said I wish that there were more women on commentary. And I really appreciate, like, she's been on commentary and she's doing That's a great true. Job. So yeah. Thank you, Tony.
She is doing fabulous on commentary.
To be clear, I meant thank you, Tony Storm, not thank you, Tony Khan owner. Tony Khan owner.
Or Tony Schiavone, also on commentary.
Yeah. He's always there. So I heard that we had a good street fight on Collision. Do you want to say anything about it, Leah? Or Leah, I watched part of Collision, but Leah's the only one, and she's stalwart who watched the whole thing.
I'm a collider. I'm a big collider. I don't think that, like, it's something that you have to, like, super, super go out of your way to see. But Chris was so cute. She and Willow dressed up as Pulp Fiction characters. And they were cute. Hamming it up in the biggest possible way with their briefcase prop. And then, like, the street... I'm not, like, a huge fan of, like, multi-man street fights. Like, even when all of our favorites are in it, sometimes I'm like, I can't focus. There's just too much happening. But it was a very fun match. Like, they were all clearly, like, having a lot of fun. And there was, like, this moment where, like, Diamante was supposed to get thrown on the tacks, and I think it was Willow who threw her and it missed, and it was just Diamante just very perfectly just sat right back up again and immediately let Willow push her down again in a better angle. And it was like really, like, I thought it was a really flawless recovery, and I was just like, you know, when you watch good wrestlers, you get to see some good wrestling. Many are not talking about this.
Attacks you. But it, I think it's very brave of you to say it. And mm-hmm. it's brave of you to remind us that we should watch good wrestling and call it what it is. Good. Yeah. Simply good.
Multiple women's matches on Collision, too. And it sounds like they're doing good in the ratings. So good for them.
Oh, they are. Yeah, that's true. Oh my God, now we're talking about the ratings on this show, Anne.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to bring numbers into this, and now I can't stop. I'm addicted to numbers.
Did you? Yeah, well, Allie, I mean, the third quarter really did well in the 18 to 49.
I'm melting.
In the demo.
I'm melting. Anne, I'll have to send you a little. Did you ever read this John Cieska book, like for kids, called Math Curse?
No,
I've talked about it before,
think.
But it's a little kid. I think it might be a girl. You know what? It's not important. But who one day the teacher says, you know, you can think of almost everything in life as a math problem. And then the kid has the math curse where, you know, they're walking around like they are seeing everything as a math problem. I love that book.
Wow.
So that's
actually. Yeah, I've got the math curse for sure. But I want to quantify everything. Yeah, I just want to have an erotic bracket with numbers quantifying it.
Then I could truly enjoy it. Yeah. Okay. It is the week before Christmas, so we do have a little special. We asked you guys on Twitter if you had any suggestions for a little holiday seasonal game for us, and you guys had a lot of great suggestions, some of which I think we better tuck away for January, but we are going to run with, we got a lot of support for, I believe it was Trish's idea that we do wrestler casting of A Muppet Christmas Carol. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes. Thank you so much, Trish. We did have a very funny little conversation about it where we were like, oh, well, we did... you know, can we do it again? Because we did do like the Ghost of Past Christmas and the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Future last year. But I guess that's not like necessarily a Muppet Christmas Carol. And Anne correctly was like, yeah, it is. Like, that's just who they are. They're the Muppet Ghosts, obviously.
And I feel like I was definitely talking about them as the Muppet Ghosts. Like, well,
oh, certainly.
Of course, Christmas Future as a child. It's like, is that in Dickens? Like, literally no idea. Like, maybe.
I think we all were like, yeah, that's we're actually thinking about the Muppets. So, but that's you know, it is kind of the definitive text. But I have brought up here. We got so upset because I thought that the Wikipedia didn't list which Muppets were which characters, and I was like, they're actors. Like, what do you mean? Credit them, but they are listed along with their performers who actually operate them. So, okay, I had forgotten this, but in the movie, Gonzo plays Charles Dickens. So Charles Dickens is the narrator. I just thought he was kind of a fun guy, to be quite honest. And then Rizzo is the co-narrator. Now, they're a perfect little team. So we're going to have to find the perfect little tag team to be Charles Dickens and the unnamed co-narrator, Rizzo the Rat.
We already said this, but I really would like best friends to do it.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
They would be extremely funny narrators, just bickering the whole time. Like,
yeah,
Trent would definitely like jump off the top when he could scuttle under the great, you know, under the big great thing.
The what?
the big door. Like they climb up to get over to get into the house.
Yeah.
It's not the great though. It's a what do you call a great when it's standing up?
You know, to be quite honest with you,
this is going really well.
Yeah,
a question I simply
really
can't answer. But I agree. Like what I would like in this kind of magical narrative we're creating, I would like for you to be able to just have Greg and Chuck walk into the movie and they don't know that they didn't know that's where they were going. They're just in it all of a sudden and they're narrating it. And I think they'd be perfect at that and they'd bicker the whole time. And then at the end, they'd just barely notice that they'd left the movie. They just walk off still arguing with each other. And I think that would be perfect. Okay. Oh, right. So here I did forget this. So what they do in A Christmas Carol is that it's Robert and Jacob Marley because it's Statler and Waldorf. So we've got another little pair that we need to cast of two grouchy old men who nevertheless are warning.
2.0.
2.0. I think it's got to be. And for them to do a little dance, I just rewatched it. So they go, "We're Marley and Marley." With their chain. They'd be having so much fun with their clanking chains.
Oh, like they would be having the time of their life.
Yeah. I think it's like you really can't do better than that. Now, let me see. I'm just trying to find like the really big ones first. Okay. So Kermit is Bob Cratchit. The poor little sweet employee of Scrooge, who is just trying to have a nice Christmas.
Our little protagonist. It could be Hangman.
To be honest, though, I'm getting a little bit of Jungle Boy vibes from it. Oh.
Kind of sweet.
Where Kermit is always going like, Mr. Scrooge, though, tomorrow is Christmas. Oh, like he's always saying, oh, in that little voice. And I can't see Hangman being as like he is like morally up, Bob Cratchit, morally upstanding, of course. But then also it's just a little hesitant, like, oh,
it's true.
Okay.
Would you, like Canadian? You can make Anna Jay Miss Piggy.
That is perfect. Yeah.
Fat ass, bad attitude.
They've got a bunch of pigs and frogs as children.
Genuinely, I think that like you could make a really fun Miss Piggy like promo to like I've got a fat ass and a bad attitude.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's put him there for now. I really like that quite a bit. Now who else do we have here? Oh, okay. Now Fozzie is. Fozzie Wig. I don't remember which character that is, to be quite honest.
He's Scrooge's old employer that was really nice to him as a young man. Who's Scrooge? We have to...
Oh, my God. Right. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm failing. Okay. Who is Scrooge?
Well, the problem is that if it's Jungle Boy, I naturally want to be like, then Christian is Scrooge. But if Christian's Scrooge, then Marley has to be Edge.
I did kind of think about Christian and Edge as like a learn from my mistakes.
Okay, but pause. What if Christian is Scrooge and Edge is Christian's girlfriend who broke up with him in his youth because he was so committed to his work? And so she broke off their engagement, and that is part of what made him such a foul-tempered, mean old man.
That's good.
I can't believe the Muppets really said, there goes, like, Mr. Asshole, there goes Mr. Bitch.
Wow, I won't forget that.
You won't unhear it. There goes Mr. Asshole. There goes Mr. Bitch. This is marked explicit on Apple iTunes, is it not?
Usually not, actually, but should be.
Okay.
Saying asshole and bitch is definitely the worst that we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's probably the worst. I kind of like that. Do you guys feel good about that?
I think that's great.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, perfect. So then who, I mean, we have to decide then who is little tiny Tim?
Oh.
Who is JB's
if Jungle Boy's
son? Jungle Boy's son?
See, now, Jungle Boy is almost a tiny Tim, yeah. Mm,
yeah. Well, let's backtrack then. If you made Jungle Boy Tiny Tim, who would you make his mild-mannered but moral father? In the world of AEW wrestling.
Huh.
I'm scrolling
through.
You're looking at the names.
Yeah, but just like in this way where I'm like, we've got to find the exact right person.
There's got to be a tiny Tim on this roster.
There's got to be a tiny.
To be clear to our listeners, we would love it if you weighed in with your own castings. I think there's a lot of ways you could do it. We'd love to hear what you think. But Leah, have you found that perfect name yet? Or
I'm in the R's and I haven't hit it yet.
But surely I mean, there's you don't think it might be your husband, Roosh?
Well,
mild-mannered Roosh.
Nick Wayne.
Okay. Roosh is a Miss Piggy, if he's anything.
100% Miss
okay,
Piggy.
Roosh is, if Roosh was a Miss Piggy, who would his Kermit be? We can do a lot of back-solving here, okay? Who
would be, and then we're like, riddle, but no.
Who would be the father of Jungle Boy, but the husband of Roosh?
Wow. That's quite a little logic puzzle.
But it actually does make sense for Roosh to have passed down that beautiful curly hair to JB.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, well, well. Something is happening here.
One thing.
We're connecting the dots.
If we go back to Christian as Scrooge, you could have little Nick Wayne as Tiny Tim, who Christian, like, it doesn't quite work, but he's like, he's the baby that Christian has feelings about.
I'm just
okay,
feeling.
I love the version of Christmas Carol where Scrooge comes out of his vision, goes and kidnaps Tiny Tim from Kermit.
One day is it Christmas?
And then it's like,
is
I'll
now.
Treat him better.
And like, yeah, beats up his mom in front of him.
Who is apologetic but firm in AEW? That is what you have to be a Kermit. You have to have deeply felt moral opinions, but your face does that squinched up nervous thing when you're stressed out, like, oh, but Mr. Scrooge, it's Christmas.
Okay, we're blue skying, right? Like, there's no wrong answers.
There's no bad answers. There's no bad answers.
I mean,
Bryce Remsburg.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. That is not nothing.
Unfortunately, he's got the right energy.
Yeah, oh my God. Can be the husband of Roosh and the father of Jungle Boy.
Leah, I think you did it.
Oh, boy.
I don't think any of us
That's
saw that
troubling,
coming, but you did it. And Roosh is always saying, like, do you not think I'm pretty? Surprise, Kirby.
Can't believe we put Roosh in here. It's married to Jungle Boy. That's not... It's not right.
I'm so
Bryce.
Happy.
I know that they would be a good couple. I know that Roosh and Bryce were meant to be.
But so now, okay, so now what we have is that 2.0 are best friends are narrating. 2.0 are Marley and Marley, and they are coming to talk to Christian to say, you better shape up or you're going to be down here in hell with us. Christian employs Bryce Remsburg at his accounting firm or at his legal offices. And Bryce is married to Roosh, and they have as a son, JB, who is a little sickly and may not make it to next Christmas. But he has a song in his heart, and he and Bryce Remsburg, I really can see this actually, Bryce Remsburg has JB up on his shoulders and is walking him through the streets of London, talking about how it's important to have good cheer towards all men. And in this scenario, who are the ghosts?
So, Christmas passed. Jolly. Right? No.
Yes.
Wait.
Come in
yes.
and know me better, yes. man.
Big, jolly, happy.
Big, jolly.
Brian Danielson.
Excuse me?
Actually, Brian Danielson does, when he gets giggly, he does have a yeah. little bit of a vibe.
And
yeah.
he knows Christian from WWE, so it would be like a little bit like, we've both worked a deal.
I'll let you guys know have me better, this, but I can't say that I'm really there with you.
I think if I tweeted at Brian okay, Danielson no. and was like, could you say come in and know me better, man, in your next promo, he'd do it.
I would.
He
just,
would. It might be John Silver, though. In
oh,
terms
my God.
Of jolliness.
A little pervert.
Yeah.
It could be John Silver. It could be. I'm seeing like a Willow Nightingale, too. Like someone because
oh,
the ghost
Willow
of Christmas past has such a big, generous energy. And it's not that others can't have it, but I guess I was just leaning more towards like who kind of always has it.
Yeah. Willow's good.
Willow is a great idea.
Okay. Let's go with Willow. And then the Ghost of Christmas Present is kind of a sweet little child who says, no, you have to come in and look. Unfortunately, you have to see.
Hmm.
Dante?
Dante Coda would be so apologetic. I feel like Dante is another one of Rouge and Bryce Remsburg's children, to be honest.
It's another little frog in
another
there.
Little frog. And then there have to be some other, like, maybe a little, I don't know. There's got to be some other, some Rouge lookalikes in there, too. Some pig, some little pigs.
The stern you have to look is little Brian Danielson-y, now that he's on my mind.
Now, if you just made him a little boy, little Brian Danielson boy. but he's it's kind and measured too. Leah, are you looking at the list? I mean,
yeah.
Adam Yuda? Cole?
Yuda? Oh.
Adam Cole would absolutely not. Scrooge Christian would be like, I don't want to look spirit. Like, I don't want to, do I have to go in? Like, Adam Cole would just be like, oh, no, you don't have to. Well, I can't. No, not if you don't want to. Well, maybe
okay,
we'll
I'm just reading names now. Austin Gunn, Bandito, Big Bill. Billy Gunn, Brandon Cutler.
Now stop. Big Bill could be something. Big Bill could be something.
He's got those little glasses on. He has those little glasses. Very sober.
And he's just looking kind of like, come on, man. You know, we got to go in there and take a look. No, you're
evil
not going to like it, but.
Evil
Cheetah. No.
Well, let's.
I have to stop.
Let's leave it at either Big Bill or little boy Brian Danielson. And let's hit our final ghost, the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Our silent
Wait,
ghost.
I'm so sorry. For a present, I'm so sorry to do this to you.
No.
What about Keith Lee?
Oh. I could see it. I could see that kind of that stern, not yeah. stern, because it's not a stern ghost, but it's like a loving, like, well, I think you know you need to see this to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let us go down to future.
Who will speak no words in the future but terrify the shit out of Christian? I think last year we cast Darby. You could do Darby again.
Darby
thematically
has to
appropriate.
Do
Darby.
Could do
the
Sting.
Goth energy.
Yeah.
Sting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I just keep hearing his tinderfish voice in my head. His big, you know what I mean?
Orange Cassidy just standing there silently.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy. That would be Hook. Very fun. If you did Orange Cassidy, it would be very fun to then have Dustin and Greg in the background being like, oh, that's just Jim. That's just Jim. They're like trying to say hi. He won't acknowledge them because he's busy pointing. That would be a fun little comedy. Well, I think we got some good options there. I think we'll say OC yeah. or Darby. That's what we've come up with.
Yeah. The thing is that it should be fucking like one of the House of Black, but they're so annoying that I don't want them to come.
Or like Dan
Julia. We could let Julia do it if she wanted to.
Oh.
If
actually Julia would be good. Yeah.
She'd be good. I think we got a lot of good options there. And that I think we hit the big characters. Of course, we didn't get everyone. I think we did a pretty good job.
Hopefully, yeah. Trish thinks we did a good job.
Yeah, Trish, I hope we didn't let you down.
I think we really hit gold with Rouge's Miss Piggy.
Yeah, I have to say, you were very right to say it because I just suddenly saw his Connie promo from this week where he's just like ranting at the screen. And I was like, yeah. That's Miss Piggy, and she's been very offended, and she's about to kick some ass. Okay, well, I think that's, again, send us your thoughts, send us your castings. We'd love to hear them. We will be off next week, and then we will be back in the first week of the new year, 2024, a year that's coming fast.
Good Lord. Wow.
Did I miss anything that you guys really wanted to talk about? Oh, sorry.
No, this episode's going to come out on Christmas Eve, so Merry Christmas if you celebrate. Happy holidays in general. Yeah. Merry winter, if not.
Whatever you do or don't
enjoy
celebrate,
a day off.
I hope you're getting some sloth time. That's what I hope for you. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This has been Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr, Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next year.